State Representative Chris Davis from the 15th District is our guest. He represents Ellington and East Windsor. And, of course, everybody is talking about the casino in East Windsor. And to hear everybody talk, it's all done. It's finished business. I don't know whether it is or not.
Well, joining us in our Touch Points Rehab interview chair is Representative Davis. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, Brad and Dan.
Now, the governor apparently has to sign this legislation before they can start digging up there in East Windsor. Is that right?
That's my understanding, that the it's a situation where the governor has to sign off on it. I believe they still have to seek Bureau of Indian Affairs approval, and then they might be able to begin construction as early as this fall is what my understanding of the situation is.
How do you feel about this?
Well, I, quite frankly, Brendan, I thought that the people of East Windsor should have had the opportunity to weigh in through a referendum. I know the town leaders, they followed the rules that were in our charter and put before them, that they would be able to go forward with the negotiations with the tribes and be able to I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of echo here when I'm talking to you guys,
because so we're not getting it at this end. You sound real good at this end. That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. But the town leaders did what they had to do. They negotiated with the tribes. They followed our local charter. They were able to go forward with developing an agreement with the tribes. So now it's a situation where the people of East Windsor, I thought, should have had the opportunity to vote on that in a local referendum. They weren't given that opportunity. We tried to amend the bill twice in both in the Appropriations Committee, and then I put an amendment on the floor of the House to be able to do that. Unfortunately, we weren't successful in those efforts. So, ultimately, everybody followed the rules, and we're in the situation now where hopefully they build the greatest casino facility that they can here in East Windsor.
But what do you hear from your constituents in East Windsor about the casino?
How about it?
Quite frankly, I think it was pretty evenly split from what I could hear from people. I think if they did a referendum, I think they would have won. I think it would have been approved, the casino. But ultimately, it was something that I think it's going to be a positive for the town. I hope we have the grand list growth of a huge $300 million facility being built in our town, and the opportunity for that economic development that spurs from around that facility and inside that facility.
But, Mr. Davis, don't you see what could happen, probably will happen? I mean, you've got Springfield just around the corner. You've got other casinos that, they want to have casinos. Don't you think there's going to be some lawsuits here?
Oh, I think there's definitely going to be some lawsuits here. And that was always my caution of the whole situation. And quite frankly, I walked into the House of Representatives that day not knowing really how I was going to vote, because I think there was a lot of questions about the whole scenario completely, whether or not you believe in expanding gaming or not. I think there was some real questions about, the constitutionality of us giving this one corporation the ability to go forward and build this casino. I think there's some questions about obviously the impacts on our town, and whether it be the societal costs of public safety and the morality of having this type of facility in your town. I believe that most likely there's going to be some lawsuits. I've read that the tribes are still looking to move forward with construction even when that's happening. So my understanding of the development agreement between the town of East Windsor and the casinos will be that they will be able to get at least a $3 million payment up front very soon. And when they're about 15 months out from having the facility up and running, which I think would be as early as maybe this fall.
Chris, how did you vote on this?
I ultimately ended up voting in support of the casino. And quite frankly, I was surprised to see the numbers that came out at the end of the debate. It was over a 2-to-1 support for the casino in both the House and in the Senate. So there was strong support from throughout the state to do this facility here in East Windsor. And now, you know, the vote has been cast. I certainly hope that we can work with the tribal entities to make sure that this facility is the best possible facility, not just for East Windsor, but for the entire state of Connecticut.
Okay. Chris, we have some more questions. Perhaps we're actually going into a sports and traffic break, and our signal's not the best. Perhaps you can call us back, but when we return, we'd like to get into the crumbling foundations, if that's okay with you.
Yes, I'd love to talk.
Once again, on our Touch Points Rehab interview chair is State Representative Chris Davis from the 15th District. That's East Windsor, Ellington, that area of the state, east of the river. Chris, we had Representative Tom Delnicki, your next-door neighbor, on earlier. We were talking about crumbling foundations. What is your perspective of the problem?
Well, thank you for having me back on. I think this is a lot better now. I'm not hearing an echo each time I talk to you right back into my ear. That was sorry about that to your listeners. It was very difficult for me to talk in the last segment. But, the idea with crumbling foundations and the ability for us to get a program together, I think it's coming along. As with many things with the legislative session, we ran into an issue of time. I think in those last few days, we were getting very close to having an agreement together that I think would push the program out to consumers, that they would be able to, or to our constituents, that they would be able to access some sort of funding ultimately to be able to help rebuild their basements. My goal has always been to do it in more of a public-private partnership, much more on the private side, working with our insurance industry and our banking industry to try to develop a private sector solution to this issue with some public assistance. And I think we're getting there. We're almost there. I've personally never been a huge fan of the surcharge that they were talking about putting onto insurance policies. I think that idea might be shelved for right now. There was a lot of resistance from the Democratic side, surprisingly, for that option. So I think we'll be able to come up with a solution in the coming weeks here before the end of the special session that will set up a program for these individuals to be able to access some sort of funding source, whether it be through insurance or through banking, and possibly seeded with some public money to be able to get this program off the ground.
Representative Davis, did you ever think, I still don't think a lot of people comprehend what kind of a condition that we have in Connecticut. I mean, this is this eventually, I believe, by the time you folks get through, eventually it's going to be everybody who is a citizen of this state doing something to help these people. That's just my own gut feeling. Maybe I'm wrong.
And Brad, we're looking at maybe tens of thousands of homes across eastern Connecticut that are impacted by this. And quite frankly, it's not just homes either. It's condominium complexes. I was talking to someone just yesterday about how their condo has it, and that they know several other ones in their complex have it as well, and they're working with their association on trying to develop a way to fix it. In a town that I didn't even know was heavily impacted by it. So it's going to be something that's going to keep coming up. It's more of a generational issue than it is something that can be solved overnight. And we need political will from people on both sides of the aisle to develop a program that has the ability for people to have a path forward, a light at the end of the tunnel, that they know that they will be able to get their foundations fixed, whether it be through insurance money, through a grant program maybe established by the state with federal funds. I mean, there's a lot of different options that are still on the table that we're trying to put together to make it the best possible program, quite frankly, with the least amount of public assistance and the most amount of private assistance as possible.
Chris, how would you envision the insurance companies getting involved if homeowners aren't going to be charged some sort of a fee?
Well, there's other options out there. There's what's known as captive insurance that we're looking into now that, these when there's major catastrophes or major issues that insurance companies face, they oftentimes are able to set up a captive insurance program that would kind of reinsure themselves against huge claims. And we're trying to work on maybe developing something or at least giving them the framework to be able to do that. Our state statutes already allow for that. But maybe not for this particular issue. So We're trying to work with our friends in the insurance industry, with the insurance department, as well as with the banking industry to maybe make up that gap if insurance doesn't make a payout that's large enough to cover the whole cost of replacing somebody's foundation. Maybe we can work with our friends in the banking industry and have them work out some sort of low interest or no interest loan program that would be able to cover the rest for these individual homeowners.
Representative Davis, I think also there's something else that you should look at, and the folks that we have elected should look at. Who are these people that have this kind of product? Now, we had a call earlier this morning that this can happen, and all of a sudden, a year or two or 3 years later, once it's in and it starts to act up, is there any way that we can check to see when the people put this product together that it's not going to do this?
Well, it's my understanding that the testing capability right now may not exist for us to be able to, be able to test directly, say, out of the aggregate in the ground or actually on-site testing. It actually takes a process where you have to pour some of the concrete, let it cure over so many days, and then test it, and then go back and make any changes that need to be done. So it would be a process that the concrete industry, at least, has indicated that it seems like it wouldn't make much sense for doing for pouring foundations for homes. So what we need to be doing is working with whether it be UConn or the Army Corps of Engineers or even a private sector testing capabilities to try to develop a test so that we can do something that's in a quick and manner that determines whether or not there's too much of this type of mineral in the aggregate that goes into the cement. And the issue is as well that almost all cement has some of this mineral, from my understanding. It's just a matter of how this mineral interacts with water and is exposed to the elements that ultimately leads to this problem. And unfortunately for these individuals with the crumbling foundations, it appears that there's just a higher concentration of this mineral directly from this quarry and from this company.
Wow. I want to go back to the conversation of low interest loans or no interest loans, but there's still loans that would have to be paid back. And Chris, what we're hearing, and I'm sure you're hearing it too from these homeowners, is A, either they have a mortgage payment now so they can't afford what would amount to essentially another monthly payment to repair the home if in fact there was a loan, or two, most people who also have their homes paid off, they're retired, so they're on fixed incomes, and essentially they would have to come up with the cost to repair that in some cases exceeds the value of the home.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I think we don't have a program in place yet. It's a very complicated issue, and not every solution would be the best solution for every homeowner. So that's why we're trying to come up with plans that would try to help address some of these concerns. I think ultimately there has to be some sort of buy-in, if you will, from the homeowner as well. I don't know if the state of Connecticut itself could give grants that would be enough to pay for the entirety of a foundation. I don't know if insurance companies aren't denying claims right now are paying enough to do the whole thing. So I think at the end of the day, homeowners may be responsible for some of the costs that go along with this. And so that's why we're looking to try to set up that type of maybe a construction loan, similar to like a rehabilitation loan that would allow them to access funds from the banking industry that maybe allows them to go above loan to value to be able to do the work on their house and then restructure their current loan system that they're under right now to maybe keep those payments equal to or just a little bit more than what they're already paying today. And maybe spread it out from if they only had like 15 years left on the mortgage, maybe they wrap it into a construction loan and get a 30-year construction loan to be able to do the work, but at least they get their basements fixed.
You know, though, one of the things, I just hope that you folks don't leave this till the end because it's tough. This is going to be tough, but these folks that have worked hard all their lives, they bought their homes, they paid for their homes, and now they need some help. I think that something has got to be done. And again, I think it should be one of the top priorities of our state representatives.
Brad, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, I've been working very hard all session long and trying to come up with a program with my friends, you know, not just in the House Republican caucus, but with the other three caucuses as well. We've truly been working in a bipartisan manner. I hope that continues. I hope in special session we'll have a standalone bill that we're able to all support and not something that just gets wrapped into the budget. This is one of the top priorities, and it should be one of the top priorities, not just for us in eastern Connecticut, but for the entire state of Connecticut. As you mentioned, you know, these are people's homes. This is what they've built their entire lives around. And to leave them literally seeing it crumbling before their eyes, I think is a tragedy and something that the state of Connecticut has really dropped the ball on over the last 20 years. And it's finally time for us to step up and do the right thing for these individual homeowners and make them whole again. And I think it's important that we do this in the most bipartisan manner as possible.
Chris, 30 seconds left. You're in the real estate industry. How does this impact the real estate industry?
Oh, it's devastating. I mean, every house is in question. And so it's individuals that think that they don't have crumbling foundations right now. Even if you're built any time during that era, everybody's going to question whether or not that house that may actually have it. And thus, it would impact the value of your home, even if you don't necessarily have a crumbling foundation at this point.
Chris, thank you very much.
Thanks a million.